believe I can't sleep.
It's time to listen to Courtney at Last on the Ramblings of an Insomniac podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ramblings of an Insomniac. I am Courtney. Hello. Wow, it's turning out to be a semi decent day. The sun is trying its very best to make an entrance to be seen. It's like after the solar eclipse, it's like, listen, I am not going to be hidden. I'm not going to be taken out of my limelight. This is my time to shine. It's always my time to shine. I'm the sun. Stop trying to like moonblock me. Yes, hello. On that note, on the eclipse note, what's been keeping me up? The eclipse, y'all. So I live in the valley in Oregon, and we got to have the eclipse in 2017, and people were offering a lot of money to be able to camp out on people that have property, on everybody that has property. I swear we all got hit up to see if we would agree to allow people to stay on our property, and people were willing to pay a pretty good hunk of change to be able to do that. And I was one of them. People kept offering, and I was like, that's just weird. I don't want a bunch of strangers chilling on my property. Plus, that sounds like an insurance nightmare, a liability issue. That just sounds like a big old liability thing. So we were like, hell no. But I remember that it's kind of funny that we think it's so cool just because, I mean, really, it's the sun. It's like dark for, you know, a couple of seconds, and then it's light and ooh-ah. But I mean, you know, the whole science behind it and everything, I guess, is kind of cool. But even that, it's like, eh. But hey, it only happens every so often. I keep hearing different times. I should have looked that up before I did the podcast, but this is not a scientific podcast. I'm not talking about the eclipse on that level. I'm just saying, we were offered a lot of money to be able to have the opportunity to stay and camp out and watch it. And then a lot of people thought that it was going to be the end of the world, like it was the apocalypse. And then other people thought it was a really spiritual thing, and other people thought it was no big deal at all. So it's just really fascinating how what people's perspective is on things like that, like the eclipse. And now, you know, I know people in like New York and stuff, and I think Texas, and like got to see it. And so that's pretty cool. I'm not trying to take away from like nature and our planet and our solar system. Our universe is amazing. So I'm not trying to say that, oh, the eclipse, no big whoop, as in, I mean, I think our Earth is beautiful, and how it cares for itself and how it maintains itself, and just the whole science behind our universe is amazing and fascinating, of course. I just can't imagine paying money to go camp out on some stranger that, for all I know, could be some total nut job, total weirdo that's going to murder me or steal my stuff, or I don't know. It's just weird. I have a hard enough time staying the night at people's houses that I do know, like my own family and friends. I don't even like staying the night with my family and friends. I never did as a kid, was never into it. I did it. Yes, I did it. I'm not saying I never stayed the night at people's houses. I did, but not a fan. I don't know if it's because I'm an only child. I don't know if it's because it is just genuinely, I don't think a lot of people are very comfortable in someone else's home, whether you know them really well and they're your best friend or family or not. It's just when it's not your space and it's not your bed and your furniture and all of that, then you just feel awkward, you know? For me, a little more so. So the thought of camping on someone else's property. And I think I've seen too many true crime shows where I just would be paranoid they would try to like murder me or something. I don't know. At any rate, but I had to laugh because Glenn Beck, Stewie and Glenn Beck were doing the thing where there's a lot of safety. There was a lot of people talking about safety during the eclipse. And it's like, safety precautions. Why are there safety precautions? It's going to be light and then be semi-dark. Not so dark that it's pitch dark or anything, but darker for like a couple minutes and then light again. And they're talking about all these safety procedures and things you should do. And like, don't bring your baby up on the roof during the solar eclipse. And it's like, now when it's not the solar eclipse, you can totally bring your baby up on the roof. But during the solar eclipse, during that time, it is not safe. But it's like, these things aren't safe no matter if it's an eclipse or not. And some of the stuff they were bringing up as safety for the eclipse, it's like, but that's not just an eclipse thing. And, you know, you probably should never stare up at the sun. And you should probably not, I mean, again, a lot of these things are just common sense stuff. But I also thought that not eating Tide Pods, you know, those Tide Pods, I thought it was common sense not to eat them like candy. But apparently, you know, you have to put warning labels and tell teenagers not to eat Tide Pods. So I guess, you know, and same with Red Bull. You know, when people think that Red Bull actually gives you wings and they get sued because it doesn't give them wings, I suppose you need to tell people not to put your baby on the roof or not to stare directly into the sun, even during an eclipse. And, you know, just like, don't stand up on your roof when you're drinking. Don't drink and operate machinery while you're intoxicated. Don't hold a firecracker in your hand and light it. And, you know, these are things that you would think would be common sense, but hey, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've done things that are stupid. I've done a lot of stupid shit, things that other people would go, wow, Courtney, that's common sense. And I'm like, yep, I guess so. But I missed the memo. I'm an idiot. So we've all been there, but I just found it funny that during the eclipse and stuff, their take on it is at the end of the world, or are aliens visiting? Are we going to, it, just like during Y2K, everybody thought that it was the end of the world and the apocalypse. And it's like, so all of a sudden on one particular day, I mean, I guess that is how it's going to happen. Technically, it is going to happen all of a sudden on one particular random day. But that's the thing. It's not random. If it's the end of the Mayan calendar, that doesn't mean that, it just means that at some point their calendar had to end, because I mean, to them, this is so far into the future. They've already gone so far into the future. So at some point they had to stop. So with that, I never understood why people thought that it was going to be in the year 2000, all of a sudden it was going to be the end of the world, or all the power was going to go out. Cause it's like, it's not, the earth isn't really on a calendar per se. It's not like on this day we behave this way and we do this thing. And same with the end of the world, it is going to technically be one random day. One day it is going to end, but to be like on 2000, in the year 2000, I'm done. I'm ending it. Like the earth doesn't plan. Just kind of happens, I'm assuming. I don't know. Anyway, so the eclipse. And I was talking to my grandkids yesterday about the eclipse, and they watched a video and stuff, and they thought it was pretty cool. And they said that they're going to go to Australia in 4 years, because I guess there'll be another eclipse that you can see in Australia in 2028. So they want to go to Australia. Thought that was pretty cute. Anyway, what else is keeping me up? So yesterday I was watching Project Runway, the old ones, the old school, season 4 I'm on, the one with, I think his name's Michael Wins. But I was watching it and it was cracking me up because Sarah Jessica Parker was on there, and their challenge was to create a look that is a two-piece look, two pieces, not just one, two, that retails retails for $40, $40. And they have $15 to go to Mood and buy the, you know, necessary fabric and accessories. Not accessories, because they get the accessories on, like, you know, the Shutterfly wall, but, you know, to get like buttons or zippers and fabric. And they have $15. And it always cracks me up, because I swear to God that the writers and stuff sit back and they're like, what would be the most ridiculous thing, the most difficult and ridiculous thing we could get these schmucks to do? Okay. We're going to give them some dental floss and some pine cones and some rocks and say, here you go, make a three-piece luxury outfit out of it. Here's some cut-up grass and some pigeon feathers and some dirt. We want you to create a haute couture look out of this. I swear they just try to mess with people. What am I hearing? Okay. What in the hell? Can you guys hear that? Oh, I think it's kids screaming. Even my dogs are like, what in the shizness? Okay. Anyway, I swear to God, though, they sit back and they're like, okay. Let's see what these schmoes can concoct out of some dandelions and some sandpaper and super glue. Ready? Go. They give them just ridiculous challenges. And it cracks me up also when things like the Family Feud, I will never understand this. To this day, Family Feud gives out only $25,000. I mean, I don't want to say only. $25,000 is a lot of money. I'm not trying to suggest that that's not a lot of money. But when you have five people in your family, that's only $5,000 each before taxes. Now, I'm assuming they put them up in a hotel and they probably pay for their airfare and stuff. And maybe even they give them some food, like some comp for food. But $5,000 isn't a lot. But here's the part that kills me. It hasn't gone up any since What's-His-Face was on Family Feud. And I feel bad because I liked him and I remember what it looks like. And I feel like his name starts with an R. Rick, maybe. I can't remember. He was kind of a perv, but, you know, whatever. That was back in the day. It was acceptable to be a perv. I'm just kidding. It's never acceptable to be a perv. Here to this day, they still have a $25,000 prize that you win at the end. And then it, of course, keeps accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. Therefore, they have more and more and more to split between the five of them. I get that. But here's the part that kills me the most. They get one car. They have the opportunity of winning a car. Why did they pick a car out of all things? They have five people, so one person gets the car, or they all switch days. This week, I get the car. Next week, you get the car. And then if they do that for 5 weeks, and they just keep rotating every 5 weeks, someone gets the new car, or they sell the car and get the money. Like, I don't get why Family Feud decided they would pick a car as a prize when there's five people in the family. You would think that they would pick, like, here's some tickets to go get a massage, or here is a, I don't even know what you can split with five people that isn't a buttload of money, but you know my point. Here is some gift certificates to a fancy dinner or to a hotel. I don't know, whatever. But to split a car kills me. And the fact that they get like $5,000 each time they win a round. And again, that's before taxes. And then with like all these prizes, like on Price is Right or any game show that you win prizes, you have to be able to like pay the car insurance and pay the taxes on these things. And if you can't pay the taxes on these things, now you have like on Price is Right at the end, when you have the showcase showdown, you win, like say there was one where you win two car with someone won two cars. Not because they got both showcases, not because they guessed both showcases within the $100, but they actually in one showcase got two cars. Now you have to still be able to pay insurance on that. You have to still be able to afford to drive that thing, you know? And same with anything that you get, you have to be able to pay the taxes on it and stuff. But I just can't understand why Family Feud gives out one car. I just think it's a weird thing to try to dole out between five people a car of all things. I'm sure before the family goes in, they're like, look, if we win and someone gets the car, then Nancy gets the car because whatever. But that's not really fair, you know? And you should be happy for Nancy. You should be like, yeah, Nancy's my cousin. Good for Nancy. But I'd be like, fuck Nancy. Fuck Nancy. Why the hell does she get the car? I mean, she may be, you know, quadriplegic and maybe her husband just died and maybe she desperately needs this car, but fuck her. We all deserve the car. We're there. Just kidding. Just kidding. I don't know. So that's been on my mind. Project Runway. I've been watching some reruns of that. I did a podcast once while I was watching Project Runway. Because that's what you get on this podcast. You listen, you get Project Runway. What if in your country you don't get it? Or what if you can't afford cable or don't have a TV? Which, God, that just sounds really shitty to me. To be like, I'm sure there are I know for a fact there are many people that don't have TV and internet and all of that. And this is definitely a luxury. But what if wherever you are, you don't have Project Runway? What would you do without my podcast, you know? You're welcome. What else? Canada, I always drag you guys into my shit. I drag you guys into my drama. I mean, you guys create a lot of drama on your own. And then everybody thinks America is crazy. And I'm like, have y'all seen Canada and Australia? Come on. They're like the crazy uncle. They are like the crazy aunt. And that's what, excuse me, I'm so sorry, excuse me. That's what I was going to say. So Canada is so effing gorgeous. I was watching, again, speaking of old school stuff, on the Roku channel, I was watching What's for Sale with a View. Check it out. If you like things like Tiny House Hunters, International House Hunters, that kind of stuff. Gwenny, come on. This is called What's for Sale with a View. It's on the Roku channel. I was watching it. It's based in Canada. And holy balls, Canada is freaking stunning. It's so pretty. And it kind of reminded me of that really hot chick that people love and they think is beautiful, but she ends up being like bat bananas crazy. You know, there's always that crazy ex that's just batshit. But she's beautiful. You guys, gross. No. Oh, come on. Oh, you don't even want to know. They just found, they found a dead rodent that has been there for quite some time and ran over so much that it's become dust now. And they started to roll in it. Oh, lovely. Anyway, Canada is like that really hot chick that everybody is just like, man, you're stunning. But she's not all there and she's crazy. The one like left eye on TLC that she's like, you know, she's good looking and she's a stud, but she'll burn your house down. She'll burn your house down if you fuck with her. Well, Canada, it's not even if you fuck with Canada. They're just crazy, eh? They're crazy, eh? And I love it. It's a boat. I know Canadian people from Canada listen to me and they're going to be like, that is not how we say it, Courtney. That's not how we say it. I hate it when people do accents because rarely do people get them right. I definitely don't get them right. I try to do like the Wisconsin accent and just accents in general. No. You know what drives me crazy? Ashton Kutcher trying on the show The Ranch. He sounds like someone trying so hard to do the most stereotypical Southern accent. I can't watch that show because I'm sure that Ashton Kutcher is a lovely human. I'm not talking bad about him or good about him. I don't know him. I've never met him. I can't talk about his character. Although I do talk about a lot of people who I've never met. So there's that. But at any rate, don't know Ashton Kutcher. Can tell you, don't think he's a good actor at all. Terrible. But people that do accents and they try too hard and they go over the top and they sound so stereotypical that it's embarrassing. And if I were from that state or that country, like Australians probably genuinely are like, Jesus Christ, can people, Australians and the Brits probably get really effing tired of people constantly asking them to say stuff like, hey, say, put another shrimp on the Barbie. Like they go around saying that all the time. I'm sure this is not something that they go around saying all the time. Yet what do we do? as Americans or people from other countries when we see an Australian say, put another ship on the Barbie. And then we talk about Crocodile Dundee and we talk about, oh, crikey and stuff. And it's like, geez. But then, you know, Americans have their stereotypes. We get that we're all rich bitches, which is kind of true. I mean, we're rich in comparison to a lot of other countries. And lately, we've been bitchy and entitled lately. But there is the misconception that every person in America is rich. That is not true. So we all have our stereotypes. Each country has a stereotype. But Canada, so beautiful. But I just can't stand the snow. No way. No thank you. No snow for me. And I don't frankly like how your country's ran. It's garbage. I'm not saying you're garbage. I'm not saying Canadians are garbage. Not at all. So far, most Canadians I've met, quite lovely. Obviously, not all Canadians I've met. I've met some. I had to go to Nepal and have a roommate for 3 weeks from the States, actually. She's from Texas. That's what really pissed me off. She's not even true Canadian. She's actually, so really, I have to say she's an American that I didn't like because she just moved to Canada, and has dual citizenship, and she's currently living in Canada. So never mind. Couldn't stand her. But Canadians as a whole love Ryan Reynolds, the Property Brothers. The Beeb seems, well, like that good-looking crazy, you know, just like Canada. But hey, like I said, people in Canada, I'm sure, are lovely. But the way the country is ran, I would not want to live there in the snow. I don't know how you all do the snow there. Oh, my Atlanta. No. Or anywhere. I kind of was thinking of moving to Wisconsin. See, there's that accent thing again. People in Wisconsin are like, ugh, shaking their heads. Any red state? I'm checking out the red states. Checking them out. Taking a lot of things into consideration. A lot of factors. Don't want to live in Arizona because it's on the border. Or Texas because it's on the border. Plus, everybody seems to be moving there, but property is pretty cheap in Arizona, but no. Looked at Wyoming and Montana. Love the beautiful skies. The skies would be beautiful, but it can't handle all the flat, flat, flat. I mean, Montana's got, obviously, the rivers, and so does Wyoming. Wyoming's got Yellowstone, and Montana, I think, has part of Yellowstone. Yes, but for the most part, flat and boring. Again, don't want to say boring. Nature's beautiful. Gwenny, come on, Gwen, let's go. Come. Nature's gorgeous, just different points of view. Come on, let's go. Desert has its, I looked at Southern Utah, like Zion Canyon around Springdale. Beautiful, gorgeous. Love Zion and Bryce Canyon and Southern Utah. Gorgeous, but again, flat, 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 other than that area. So Wisconsin, Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, West Virginia. And Maine's like the swing state kind of, but looking at Maine, those are some areas. Looking at the pros and cons, looking at the humidity. I don't know how people can't do Oklahoma, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota. You have tornadoes. I realize Ohio, Kentucky, I guess still has them, but same reason, Arkansas, Georgia, little too humid, little too southern, little too crimey. Mississippi, a little too southern, a little too KKK. I don't know Mississippi. I'm just... That's rude, but you know, I mean, that's what I think of. I can't help it. I've been there only for the day, obviously not the whole state. I'm sure it's lovely. Louisiana, I love the freaking houses and the food. Houses and food. Not a fan of jazz. Don't like hurricanes, and I don't like crime, and I don't like cockroaches that are the size of boats. And the people are fucking rude, at least in New Orleans. Just the rudest, most racist. You want to talk about racism? I'm not talking toward Black people. I'm talking about toward white people. New Orleans people don't like the Black people in New Orleans Louisiana don't care for the white people. And they make it very clear. And I'm sorry, but racism is racism. And I don't want to hear people go, well, no, there's no well. Either racism is bad or racism is okay. There's not a but or a well or a excuse, insert excuse here. It's just bad. So looking at moving, and I've been staying up. That's part of what's keeping me up is I'm obsessing on looking at property. Oregon is so stinking pretty, though. It's hard to compete with, because if you want the ocean, boom, you have the ocean. If you want the valley and like, you want the valley, boom. If you want high desert, boom, you have high desert. If you want the rivers and the green, the greenery and the forests, boom, you have all of that. We have rivers, we have valleys, we have forests, we have streams, lakes, mountains, high desert, all of it. And you also have crazy. I mean, Portland is considered Vancouver, BC's sister, just like Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas, Portland, Oregon, and Vancouver, BC are like triplets. Stop it, you guys. So gross. Now I have to bathe you. Damn it. They found that freaking dust. And oh, Lord have mercy. That's gross. It's so flattened and been there so long that it's pretty much dust and they're rolling in it. Lovely. So you know what I'll be doing later, you guys. You can be thinking of me while I'm washing freaking rat off of my dogs. Anyway. So checking out different states, but then I think of things like ticks and humidity and rabies and is it safe and what are the people like, and I want to be far enough out in the country that I'm away from people, but yet close enough to a bigger city that, you know, there's hospitals and vets and, you know, stuff. So, and if my kids visit, my grandkids visit, I want it to be safe. So, you know, hello, man, that's loud. Airplanes are always bombing my podcast. But so that is, I guess, a good cue to wrap it up and tell you those are the things that are keeping me up at night. Thank you so much, everybody that has been supporting me. I hope you guys have a most excellent. Sorry, I was thinking of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I hope you have a most excellent day. And until next time, thank you for listening to the Ramblings of an Insomniac.